Track 3. Is the bath the best place for books? Susie Fowler-Watt, BBC TV Look East presenter, gives us an insight into her extensive book-related to-do list.
I always have a pile of books by my bed waiting to be read. Some I've dipped into or flicked through in anticipation, but none are properly consumed yet. They're very much on the to-do list, and by that I really mean on the desperate to-do but where is the time list. My current stack is an eclectic assortment which includes Michelle Obama's The Light We Carry, Gabor Mate's The Myth of Normal, and Janara Nirenberg's Divergent Mind. I think you could probably gather my interest in psychology and well-being from that collection alone. In my pile, there's no romantic fiction, crime thriller, or classic literature, and the latter makes me feel a bit guilty. If you look at 19th century classics, I've actually read very few. A bit of Jane Austen, Charles Dickens, and Thomas Hardy when I was at school, but nothing to be proud of. Although I've quite happily and lazily watched the TV or film adaptations, I haven't physically touched Anna Karenina, War and Peace, Wuthering Heights, the list goes on. These are also on my mental to-do list, but maybe more in the category of to-do before I die. Herein lies the problem. Time is ticking on. I hope to live for many more decades, but I've been putting off reading these classics for my whole adult life so far. 30 years of excuses. Let's be honest, I'm not constructing a very convincing defence, am I? Is this something I really need to achieve, or is it okay to admit it just doesn't interest me that much? My self-imposed guilt has been brought into sharp focus because of two recent events. The first was at Christmas when I was one of the readers at the Norwich Cathedral Choir concert. It's a truly special event and I felt very honoured to be taking part. The reading I'd been asked to do was a humorous take on the 12 Days of Christmas. I was grateful that my friend and BBC Look East colleague Mike Liggins had been allocated the other reading, an excerpt from A Christmas Carol by Dickens. Mike was up first, and as I listened to him, I was overcome by two feelings. The first was, oh my goodness, what a way to bring Dickens to life. The second was, oh no, I have to follow that. Mike read with such verve and expression, and his storytelling was perfection. He filled the cathedral with images of Bob Cratchit and his family sitting down for their Christmas dinner. Why has Dickens never sounded like this before, I wondered. A couple of months later, I was listening to BBC Radio 4, and an eminent scientist was being interviewed on The Life Scientific. As well as being a global expert in immunology and T-cells, I was already wowed by this, it transpired he also reads 19th century literature for an hour in the bath every morning between 5 and 6 a.m. He what? My mind was so blown by this fact that all I could think of was that the bath water must get very tepid during this literary hour. All in all, I was left feeling entirely inadequate. How can I say I have no time to read when this chap fits in Dostoevsky before breakfast? It makes me feel that some people are just striding purposely through life, squeezing out every drop from it, while I'm stumbling around the maze of middle age and haven't even managed to watch the last series of Happy Valley yet. What am I doing? I'm not prepared to give up and admit defeat. There's still time, and I have a cunning plan. I need to commission Mike Liggins to read the classics to me. Maybe not in person, while I'm in the bath at 5 a.m. That would be a step too far. But I fancy listening to a bit of Mike Does Moby Dick while I'm careering around the rest of my day, insisting I don't have enough time.